Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. Matt Pauly joins us again just after 10 o'clock here on a Thursday. The Cardinals have completed their second to last home series. They will play against the Brewers starting tomorrow, and they got the off day today that they will enjoy. And then that's it for the season at Busch Stadium. Then, of course, they go on the road, Giants and Cubs on the road, and that's how the 2025 campaign will come to an end, barring some miracle that happens in the next several days. Matt Pauly, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm great. Are we in line for a miracle?
I don't think so.
Damn it.
But I'd love to be wrong. I will, if I am wrong, I will celebrate my wrongness.
Well, I will celebrate your wrongness if you do that. If they,
okay.
You know, okay.
We can have a big party, the Matt Pauly's wrong party.
We could all be wrong. So here we are, man. We're looking at a team that is, they are where they are. And it's almost like I know that we have gone over them a million different ways, and we will continue to do that as the offseason comes up here. But as they do get to the end of their home season and we look back and assess 2025, what's the first thing you think of?
I think the raised expectations in May and then them falling back to earth as the season went along.
Yeah. So, now that we are looking ahead, because it's really the only thing we can do here is look to 2026, I think the question a lot of people have is, how quickly can they turn this around? Or are we in for more of the same next year?
Yeah, I guess it's interesting because first off, we need to define turn it around. If turn it around is be a playoff club, well, that can probably happen pretty quickly. There's some things that could have gone differently this year that would have resulted them in being a playoff club. If they would have made the move for Fetty for McGreevy earlier, they'd have some more wins and it might look a little bit different. But Kevin and I talked about this on Redbird Rush Hour last night. Just sneaking into the playoffs, that's not what you're trying to be. You're trying to be a team that is a division champion and has the ability to go on a deep playoff run and possibly win a World Series every year. How far are they from that? That's probably years down the road. But it's a step-by-step process. So if there is a scenario where next year they do get to the 85, 86 wins, and they sneak into the postseason, and then the next year they're in postseason contention all season long, and they get in there, and maybe they win a first-round series or something, and then the next year you feel like that's when they've got a chance of really making a run. I feel like I think that's kind of a positive scenario. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, and it seems to me like sneaking into the playoffs had been sort of the business model here for a while. And of course, the problem with that has become, once you get to the playoffs, you know, the old adage, anything can happen. It's true.
To an extent.
But once you get into the playoffs, you're almost guaranteed to face a team that's got two very good frontline starting pitchers. And you're in that best of three series. So sneaking into the playoffs is not perhaps the route that it used to be.
Yeah, so just because you can go on a playoff run unexpected with a roster that is not as good as other rosters doesn't mean you should build your roster that way. And I think to be fair on that, if you do build your roster in a way that it looks like it's good for the playoffs and you've got high-end starting pitching and things like that, and you do happen to fail in the postseason, I think at that point it's appropriate to look at it and say, okay, there's a little bit of luck involved in this because this team was postseason ready. But you guys are right in the sense that it can't just be about, you know, getting into the tournament and hoping that it works out well. You have to have a team where you feel like, okay, whoever the other team throws out in game number one, speaking as the Cardinals, we have somebody that we can throw out there and can just match up to them. And right now they don't have that.
That's the thing, Matt, that I am most, I don't know if concern is the right word, but it's the thing that I am looking at the most moving ahead as an organizational philosophy, because I have talked about this for years with them that yes, anything can happen when you get to the postseason, but it doesn't mean you should count on anything happening. And what they should be doing is trying to even themselves with teams like the Phillies and the Braves and the Dodgers and not say, well, win the division and then, you know, we'll see what happens from there. And it worked for them, as John mentioned a couple of times, but it's not the right process to go about it. Do you right. think that moving forward, they will start to see it differently? That it isn't about winning the division. It's about having the best team possible to remove or lower the margin of error once you get to the postseason.
I think so, and I think we're talking about pitching more than anything else.
Right.
That's what separates the, you know, the really good teams from the not so good teams, and what when we evaluate if a team is, you know, quote unquote built for the postseason, generally what we're doing is we're looking at the top two or three starters and seeing how we feel like that they you know shore up with other guys. So, Heim Bloom's specialty is pitching, and that's something you look at his teams. He has found a way to cultivate, develop, acquire pretty high end pitching. So that's one area that I feel very good with Bloom taking over. I think the team's going to be much better from a pitching standpoint, and I think the pitching is going to pass the smell test when it comes to being a postseason rotation at some point. Now, probably not next year, but at some point in the relatively near future.
Yeah, I feel kind of like the Cardinals were a little late to the dance once the shift was eliminated, because you were training a generation of pitchers to be pitch to contact, a lot of sinker ball, going back to the Dave Duncan school even. And the rule change, I think, has been as much of a part of the Cardinals' decline in the last three seasons as anything else. Do you agree with that?
I agree in theory. I think it's a lot larger than that. The single biggest mistake that the Cardinals made was that as the industry was changing, they did not change along with it. They just stuck with their model. And they were able to do that for a while because you had guys like Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright around. And you had players that were almost able to just exceed expectations and pull a team up that they didn't need to at that moment go along with what everybody else had learned about baseball and reacted to what everybody else learned about baseball. So they went for a while kind of just going against the trends and sticking with their own thing. And then all of a sudden, some of those guys walk out the door and you're still trying to do things the way you used to do them. And it's just not working anymore. We know. And people don't like hearing this, but it's true. If you want to win at the highest level, you have to have power. And when I say power, I mean both hitting and pitching. Power pitchers, you have to have strikeouts. Power hitting, you have to have home runs. Cardinals don't have enough of that. They relied on other things. Many times the other stuff, it's a lot more aesthetically pleasing. I get it. I understand that, but it's just not the way you win. So they were, I can remember sitting in an upstairs suite at the baseball winter meetings a few years ago with John Mozeliak and him talking about, well, this is going to test our model. It did test the model, and it showed that the model just does not work anymore.
Yeah, it's, and what you say about power does matter, and you are absolutely right about it, and the aesthetics of the game, stealing bases, hit and run, going first to third, doubles in the gap, though doubles are hugely important to winning too. But like the stuff that we're talking about here is more fun to watch than just home run, strikeout, walk, right? So the what they call the three true outcomes. That's not always the most fun way to view baseball, but it's the way that you win in baseball games. And it's really difficult to do anything about that, Matt.
Yeah, and if you can do that stuff, and then you can add some of those other things in, if you can add some speed on the bases, if you can, that's great, and that can make you better. But from a base level standpoint, you need those two things to be able to truly compete at the highest level.
Yeah.
I'm not saying to never steal a base. I'm not saying, you know, don't go first to third on a base hit. Like, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying those things that you just mentioned, Chris, are not as important in a big picture standpoint if you want to win at the highest level to strikeouts from pitchers and home runs from hitters.
Yeah, so just looking at the playoff teams, let's talk about home runs. These are the teams that are at the top in the National League in home runs. The Dodgers, Mets, Cubs, Diamondbacks, Phillies, Braves, and Brewers. All of those teams, except for the Braves, are going to be playoff teams. Well, and then the Diamondbacks won't, but we're talking about...
Diamondbacks what? May. They're sticking around.
Yeah, they're still there. They're in contention. Yeah. So we're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the top 7 are all big home run teams.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I don't know this for sure. I could be totally wrong on this. Somebody can tell me. I would bet that as Arizona has gone on their little run here over the last month, we've probably seen them hit a few more home runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's the ballgame these days. I wanted to ask you, we've now had the end of last season and all of this season to look at Andre Pallante. And is this guy fixable? At this point, I mean, he's still relatively young, but he's also experienced at this point. Does his stuff, can it be fixed?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't like saying I don't know. He was the best pitcher in the second half of the season last year for the Cardinals, and he has just come in this year, and it's been completely different. And these big innings bite him. You know, yesterday he walks two guys and then gives up a home run. That's the game. And he has innings like that so often. And I like him so much as a guy. Like, this is one of the things that I struggle with, because I know how hard he works. I know how good of a dude he is. He is so easy to root for. But the numbers are what the numbers are. And it's bad. He's got a 5.29 ERA. And... it's just when there's so much hard contact against him, he's somebody that I don't think you can guarantee him anything going into next year. Like, I think you can reserve a spot in the rotation for Michael McGreevy and Matthew Liberatore. I think Andre Pallante goes in and he is very much not just competing for a job in the rotation, but competing for a job, period. And I hear from people all the time that say, oh, well, he's just a reliever. I push back so much on that. I do not like I like Andre Pallante as a reliever so much less than I like him as a starter, because he's a pitch to contact guy who he comes in from the bullpen and it can go bad really fast. I don't think his profile is the profile of a relief pitcher. So I don't know what you do with him at this point outside of he goes into spring next year and he has to earn everything he gets.
Matt Pauly, we've got the soccer showcase coming up, and I need you to tell everybody about it.
Yeah, so it's going to be tonight in Arnold. I'm making the trip down to Arnold, which is going to be fun.
I've been to Arnold recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
My mom grew up in Festus, and my grandparents were in Festus when I was growing up.
That's
so
where they towed my banged up car.
To Festus?
To Arnold.
Oh, to Arnold. Okay. Yeah.
They got a Bonanza there. Or no, I'm sorry, a Ponderosa.
A Ponderosa. Okay.
Yeah, they got a Ponderosa there.
I will not be at Ponderosa. Oh. I am going to be at Hot Shots.
Oh, there you go.
And there you go. Timo Baumgartel from City SC will be there. He's going to be on with us from like 6 to 6:30, and then at that point he'll step away from the table. He'll sign autographs. He'll take photos. So this is the thing for parents out there, especially parents who have kids at soccer practice tonight. Instead of going home and trying to make dinner and doing that whole thing, just head to Hot Shots, your kid, and you can meet Timo. You can get yourself a burger. You can get yourself a beverage at Hot Shots. You can watch what we're doing. We're going to be broadcasting. The broadcast there will actually start at 5 o'clock because I'll be there for Redbird Rush Hour. But we'll keep the broadcast going all the way till 8 o'clock.
Also, we've got Justin Boyd, who is with Hot Shots, coming in studio today at 11 o'clock. So we're getting, I mean, this is a big thing, man. KMOX Soccer Showcase tonight. Hot Shots, Arnold from 6 until 8. Matt Pauly is there. Timo Baumgartel is going to be there as well. So I want you to be nice to the people. Do not get into any altercations. You've done,
by
the way.
They need to be nice to me. Yeah, they need to be nice to me.
Hey, listen, Matt, you have done very well in the last, I'd say, 8 to 12 months in not getting in any sort of public confrontations. You've done really well.
Or I just haven't told you about them. No, I'm kidding. I haven't really. But like the other night, I'm doing the post-game show, and somebody sent a text message telling me how horrible of a person I was. That stuck with me a little bit.
Wow.
So,
who said you were horrible?
A texter.
For what?
Sorry about that.
Because I'm rude to callers.
Oh.
I'm not rude to callers.
No, buddy. You know what? What other people think of you is of little significance.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
I think
we have to disagree better because some people it is it is striking when somebody calls and I tell them they're wrong and they take that as a personal attack. It's not a personal attack. It's just we happen to disagree on something connected to baseball.
It's outrageous. Well, Matt, I think you're doing great. Okay.
Thank you.
Have fun tonight.
I will.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.